And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bum in the Bloom, episode 366. Wrapping up our mid-year, even though it's a little late because of other schedules and other, you know, live gladiators and whatnot. Mid-year positional wrap-up, starting pitching position, and pitching has been a nightmare. So you might as well put this one off to the end because it's never going to get any better, it feels like. But we'll get through a handful of names there and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDIntric. The podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at Ryan BHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How you doing, my friend?
Doing all right. We are putting the definition mid-year to the test with this one, given that we're, I guess, 4 months into the season. But
you're like, but hey, almost 2/3 through. But yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah, you know, whatever. We were going to do it over the All-Star break, but we wanted to do a live draft instead, a live gladiator. So we did that. I'm good, man. I'm doing better than Framber Valdez tonight. You probably
I was catching up on
stuff, but man,
two-thirds of an inning.
Yeah, 2/3. So short shift for the world's best teammate.
Was it as bad as it looked? All I saw was the stat line. Was it like that bad? Was he?
Yeah, it
like,
was walks, hit horrible? By pitches. I mean, a okay. couple of, like.
Well, see, he had opponents instead of his teammates. That's good.
He did hit an opponent instead of his catcher. Kind of just wish he would have hit his catcher and get thrown out of the game before giving up 6 runs, but whatever.
Yep. That is very true, but it's just another night. Another pitcher gets absolutely torched. So,
yeah, it's been a rough week for pitching. I know you were lamenting your Ashcraft, who I think is in trouble. Yeah. be debated, but your Ashcraft and Weathers, who may also be in trouble, but both in terms of workload outings on Monday. So it's tough, man.
Yeah, it's a rough one in these streets these days, but you know, we move on and we get to go through it again, and we're going to talk about a handful of pitchers tonight to explain the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's gonna be a lot more ugly, it feels like, than good. And because the number one pitcher might not be the number one pitcher by season end because he might not pitch enough. So that's a whole other story for another day. But yeah, I wasn't gonna do any news, but I just want to give a little tease and peace to Joshua Kuroda Grower. That's a rough one for the homie. He's gonna be down and out for a while. He's literally he's confusing Confucius because he says man can't walk with two balls. Apparently, or 4 balls, and apparently he can walk with one now.
Ruptured testy is just not what you want to see. Pretty good comment in our Discord today where they'll remain nameless. I don't want to put them on blast, but said the good news is at least we know JKG won't be going on paternity leave.
Oh, man. Jeez. That's rough. Not wrong, but rough.
I audibly laughed when I saw that. Again, P's and P's to JKG. I know that's a lot of letters there, but yeah, brutal stuff. Mitch Haniger was the last one who had it. I have an injury tracker kind of database as part of our Patreon, but it's only goes back to 21. Mitch Haniger had a ruptured testicle in 2019, missed basically the season 3.5 months.
So. Yeah, I don't know how you bounce back from that one, literally.
And you could argue Mitch Haniger never did.
True, because you guys threw him to San Francisco, and that didn't work out too well. And I'm pretty sure we threw him back to you.
You threw
didn't
him back.
Work out. Yeah.
No, didn't work out at all.
It was a catch and release program on that one. But, yeah, I just had to throw that one out there. I had to lighten the mood for a second before we get into pitching that poor Jay. And he gets his first career home run the night before. He's hitting safely, like, almost in every game. It's just like, dude, that's rough. But Tommy Tanks has some more runway when Kurtz potentially comes back. And
that could be our news item, right? That could be our news item for tonight. Is Tommy Tanks at least gets a little bit more run? Tommy White, that is. At least while Kurtz, Geloff, etc. All right, though Max Muncy was called up tonight too, so it's going to be a jumble and. In Sacramento, we'll see. I don't even know if Tommy Tanks, I don't know. I think he's fine at home to use. I don't think he's like a priority must-add type.
No, he's not. He had 4 singles last night, though, so that was pretty impressive. But, yeah, but nothing. I don't think he's crazy unless he's guaranteed the playing time. Then I'd be slightly interested. But we'll talk about that on Thursday, Fab preview, as your regularly scheduled, you know, bat time and bat place. compared to tonight. But let's just get to it, Ryan. The people have been waiting and clamoring for it. We're rusty around here, but it's okay. What are we looking at when we stare at this board? It's right now, it's for the first of multiple slides, you'd expect more green is what I'll say.
But this is the most green you're going to get. So yeah. To put some context around that for folks not watching on YouTube or watching the stream, we are looking at the top 80 pitchers overall tonight, ordered by preseason ADP, by main event ADP. And two bloom boards. The first one that I've got up now is starting pitchers 1 through 40. The next one that we'll pull up after that, which is just an absolute bloodbath. It's not rare steak red. It's just blood red, which is a massive takeaway for me, at least so far, with starting pitching market this year, is pitchers 41 through 80 that we'll hit on next. But yeah, this is all ordered by preseason ADP. We'll hit breakouts at the end of the show. And no, Walbert Urania does not qualify as a breakout. Just, you know, not good in two of the four starting pitcher categories, but that's okay. We've got the Fangraphs player rater overall ranking year to date and by position, so by starting pitchers as well. So again, we can kind of quickly see where some of these pockets, again, we kind of have the answers to the test 2-4 months into the season, but where these preseason pockets were most fruitful. It's interesting to me, the top, you know, I know you're kind of ingesting this for the first time, the top 40, yes, there have been some high profile misses. There always are with starting pitchers. It's just the nature of the beast with injuries are driving a lot of these true misses. Freddie Peralta being the exception to that rule. There were actually a decent number of hits depending where you look in the top 40 pitchers. Again, certainly much better than pitchers 40 through 80, but we'll get there. So any kind of general takeaways before we dive into certain players on your end, Bubba?
Yeah, the big hits, like you said, it's injuries, except for Freddie, who, for those that might have listened to me on Fantasy Pros in the past, I am back earlier than usual this season. And Freddie Peralta, we discussed quite a bit on Tuesday's leading off show. So if you want to check that out, Bubba and the Bloom got some love on that show as well. But Freddie Peralta was the topic of conversation. Says over his last 10 starts or so, 11 starts, ERA is north of 7, I believe, if I remember correctly, with like a 13% K to walk. He's been unrosterable in shallow leagues, unstartable at least in 12s, and I want to drop him, I think. It's that bad, to your point. But to your other point, is it hasn't been as bad as we expected. I think it's just we expect more from the top of the class here. And the other thing I'll mention, and this is the reason why it maybe stings more, is we're looking on the first sheet, it's 1 through 40, and it's only till pick 134. That's like 8 rounds in a 15 team draft.
Yeah.
So 40 pitchers basically in the first eight rounds. So most teams have 2 if not 3. And if you somehow didn't get like hit on these guys that are in green, the few that are, it'll hurt a lot because of what you passed up on in the offensive side of things compared to usual.
One thing that sticks out to me is we'll kind of chunk these into kind of different groups, but of the first 6 starting pitchers that were taken, 5 of them are top 25 starting pitchers. That's pretty damn good. Yamamoto's number 4, Chris Sale's number 5, Sanchez is number 11, Paul Skenes is 17th starting pitcher, and Tarik Skubal, with all that missed time, it's really the only reason, is 21st. So Garrett Crochet is the obvious, like, oh crap. And that stings even more if you took Crochet at an ADP of 10. But everyone else in the top 30 is actually, I would argue, been fine. So if you went super, super early outside of Crochet, it has mostly worked out for you.
Yeah, Yamamoto and Chris Sale are overall better than their ADP was. So they definitely worked out. Christopher Sanchez is off of it, but you don't expect it to be perfect. It's more so those top 3, because the entire season, draft season, was how do you rank it? Skubal, Skenes, Crochet, because some had Crochet over Skenes. It seemed like Skubal was the unanimous one out of the 3, but there was a lot of kind of tinkering with the rest of, you know, Skenes and Crochet part of it. But it was also like, who's number 4? That was always the big question. And Logan Gilbert was popular. He's 15th at starting pitching, 56th overall, so not too shabby. Brian Wu has had his up and downs. Hunter Brown's been a disaster, so on and so forth. So to your point, like if you could, did Scooble and Skeens return their fifth and eighth ADP? Probably not. In the world of pitching we're looking at, they still did, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like okay. I would argue like Chris, and like for you to expect Scooble or Skeens to be a top eight player, like that's a high bar.
Scooble's kind of done that though the last couple seasons.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, for sure.
that's why you take them there.
They certainly haven't. I don't even know if they've hurt you. They certainly haven't crushed you. No, they haven't hurt you. Yeah. Unlike Crochet, but the other guys that. The SP4 candidates, Christopher Sanchez, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Chris Sale, and to a lesser extent, Brian Wu. But then Logan Gilbert's been better lately, too. So, I mean, all those guys have been pretty damn solid at their ADP.
I guess the way I would say it differently is if you waited until round two or three, how much happier are you right now?
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
That's the only question. Again, it's all Captain Hindsight stuff. But those are always conversations that happen in draft season. Like, do you take a pitcher in round one? How do those three last? So on and so forth.
Yeah.
And if you waited until round two or even round three and got one of these other guys as your ace and took hitters, like, it's just the what if game, but something to think about when you look back at how the cookie crumbled.
Fair point.
After Gilbert, then it gets rough. It's Hunter Brown's injury, Max Fried's injury, Cole Reagans is dead, Jacob DeGrom's been banged up. He's the best of the bunch. I'll stop there because I want to discuss the next two kind of a little more. So you got like Brown, Fried, Reagans, DeGrom. That's tough because those were SP1s for a lot of people. The only league I had Reagans is was the Beat Bubba OC when he was an SP2. That was the only, I remember we did that draft. I said it took us my SP2.
And if beer bets were a league, you'd have him in that league too.
But. Oh, yeah, I did. Yes, I did. And you will be drinking a beer on that one. But yeah, this pocket, it just deepens the story of like, when do I go early on pitching? If I waited, well, between rounds three and four, basically, yeah. That pocket has crushed you.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah. The so far the answer has been kind of that second round group because it's been a pretty big cliff after that with Hunter Brown. And Hunter Brown to me is the most surprising of these, Cole Reagans, anyone who listens to the show, I was very much off of. Fried, we know, some injury concerns. DeGrom, volume concerns. But again, DeGrom's been, he's been okay. Hunter Brown, to me, was like the, I know we didn't like him at like top five SP, which is where Hunter Brown was going like early in draft season. But I thought the floor was very high. And I will go back to this example of Hunter Brown as no starting pitcher is safe because, you know, if, no matter if you have Hunter Brown as your SP, Hunter Brown as your SP like 5, 10, 15, whatever, you at least probably knew the volume was going to be there. And the volume was not there for Hunter Brown.
And the scary thing with Hunter Brown is like, okay, so yeah, he spent time on the IL. Like he made two starts in March and then he didn't come back till June. And since he's come back though, Ryan, it's, you know, it was three walks, two walks, two walks, the first three starts. The last three, it's scary. It's he in, 14 and two-thirds innings over his last three starts. He has walked 15 while striking out 11. His control is completely gone. He's not going deep into games. I don't know if he's healthy still. That's the part I'm scared. I'm worried about.
It's either health or something mechanical. It's pretty much one of those two. Whenever the control just instantly vanishes like that, it's a little tough. The velocity for Hunter Brown has been, where's it at? Pretty stable. He's up 95.7 with the fastball. He was 96 before the injury this season. And then last year, Hunter Brown was 96.3. So he's down a half tick in terms of velocity. And you pair that with the wildness and really, so you look at the ball, the walk rate for Hunter Brown, it's 15% walk rate. Like that is truly horrific. It's double what it's been. It's double league average. Underlying ball percentage for Hunter Brown, 42%. So yeah, major, major issues. And yeah, something could still be very much wrong with Hunter Brown.
Then the next pocket is Logan Webb and Freddie Peralta. I just kind of wanted to put them together because Webb missed a couple weeks with his knee injury, but for the most part, Webb's pitched all season. Freddie Peralta has taken the mound all season. I won't even say he's pitched. I don't even know who that is that takes the mound in that body.
It's not like, it's not Freddie anymore. Well, no, it's the German Freddie that everyone loves.
It's something because I think I have had you convinced in the offseason when I said it's been like, you know, 4 or 5 straight years of this is who it is. Like he was another type of like Dylan Cease profile in a way where it's like, hey, this is what you're getting year in and year out with Freddie Peralta. Like he's not going more than 150, 60 innings, but just what you're getting. It's completely off the rails right now. I have no clue what happened here. I don't know if New York ruined him or what it was, but he's lost. But I wanted to put him with Logan Webb just for the fact that, yeah, Webb missed a couple weeks with the knee injury, but you know, even though he was the best pitcher, the NL pitcher of the month in June, he still has a 3.87 ERA and a 13% K to walk. That K to walk resembles Freddie Peralta's, by the way. He just has better ratios than Freddie Peralta. They're not that – it's basically probably a couple of bloops and blasts away from being the same freaking stat line is why I want to talk about him.
Yeah. Any kind of – because to me, Webb and Freddie Peralta were similar types. They're not old yet. They're 29 and 30. Webb's 29. Peralta's 30. But a lot of mileage on the arm. Kind of maybe not the highest ceilings out there, but we think we could depend on them. Is there something you would change with that? Like, it's not for me, it's not even an age thing because like Chris Sale is up there and doing his thing. Wheeler, who has been brought up in the chat already, we'll get to him, Zach Wheeler, in a little bit. Or is it just kind of two bad seasons from two similar type players?
And with Webb, like we've talked about it year after year, it's like sometimes he throws strikeouts, sometimes he does this and that, and he's always changing and evolving. Like Freddie Peralta is the one where I need someone much, much smarter than me that follows pitching to explain what the heck happened here.
Yeah. It's a total collapse. Yeah.
But then it gets better, Ryan. It gets much better. Jesus Lizard, Jesus Lizardo, 28th at the position. George Kirby, all things considered, at 68th. Like he could finish the year still probably top 30 just because he missed time. Same with Yuri Perez. For all the time he missed, he's still 47th. Your boy Kyle Bradish, yeah, that's probably not going as planned. No. And then Dylan Cease is 20th. He's been outstanding. And even with the blow-up, Joe Ryan's 35th. So it's one of those, if you took early, you're good. And then if you waited until like round, let's say even 6, you're feeling a lot better about life.
That's right. This does include the Joe Ryan Monday blow-up, still 35th starting pitcher. To me, Dylan Cease is the one that stands out. Just no, we both liked him, but like, so much you take the longer view of Dylan Cease. It's not quite an even year, odd year thing, but man, we know the volume, the strikeouts are going to be there. The ratios with that guy are just an absolute roller coaster from year to year. And this year we're getting good Dylan Cease, one of the few success stories up in Toronto this year. So that has been good. I do need to take the L with Kyle Bradish. I guess technically he's still
better than Cole Reagans, Ryan.
He's still better. That was our beer bet, right?
Yes.
Cole Reagans. Yep. No, it was Cole Reagans versus Brian Wu. And
you've won that one as well. What was the Bradish one then?
You were winning this. This is good news for you. This is Kyle Bradish versus Dylan Cease.
Oh, I'm smoking.
Why did I agree to that?
I have no idea. That's easy money right there. I do that you know, twice on Sunday.
Huh. You would? Well,
I love Dylan Cease. Cease is my boy. It's always been my boy, no matter who gives me crap for it. But
yeah. I'm just confused because I like Dylan Cease. He's
Yeah, I am surprised he did that.
I just really like Bradish entering the season. I do not know where this massive jump in walk rate came from for Kyle Bradish, up to 11%. It was 8% last year. It had a couple seasons around 9, but his career mark's like 8.5. I just did not expect the control to totally go away for Kyle Bradish. And then at the same time, right, like the strikeouts are way down. I guess, again, the case against Kyle Bradish, and both you and Ben Tidd made this correctly, is, you know, you're looking at the last two seasons for Bradish. It was 39 innings, 32 innings. So how much do you take stock into those two abbreviated seasons for Bradish. But yeah, the K rate's way, way off from where it was from those two seasons for Bradish, and the walk rate way up. And it's just been, I don't know. I don't want to say a disaster because the guy somehow has a 3.61 ERA, hasn't been paired with the best whip out there, and he's still healthy. So like, that's something to be said for mid, late July to be a starting pitcher and still throwing at this point. But yeah, I expected much better from Kyle Bradish. Gonna have to gonna have to look at the process with that one.
And make sure you pick up the right book when you do that, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I wanted to just mention one thing on Joe Ryan. Saw this one on the old Twitter bot after his 6 home run outing on Monday. Joe Ryan is tied for the most home runs allowed by any player in a game since 1900. That's wow. I just want to share that one with the masses that maybe missed that one. That's how bad it was when Peaky Blinders himself, Mr. Halpin, hits his first 2 career home runs. Some things are going bad. So
yeah, I mean that is the issue with Joe Ryan. It's always has been. He's always a fly ball guy. It's a 47-48% fly ball rate. Joe Ryan was getting by with pretty good homer to fly luck. Still is. It's still an 11% homer to fly. Like, it's even with the 6 homers yesterday. Ryan's homer to fly is still better than league average, but he was running really pure before the obviously 6 home run outing, and still doing just fine. I mean, a 110 whip, 3.38 ERA, 114 innings for Joe Ryan. That'll still play, but you never know. This guy is very much prone to blowups.
And then just real quick before we move on to the next side. So these are the top 20 pitchers taken off the board essentially over the first 5-6 rounds is where we're going with this one.
Yeah.
And so I guess what I'd say is obviously we can use our hindsight. Like, yeah, I never would have drafted this player, this player, this player. You never would have drafted Cole Reagans. I never would have drafted Kyle Bradish. We've established that. But like looking back on how this played out, like, there's a perfect world where someone could have waited till round 2 or 3 and got a Sanchez, a Yamamoto, or a Sale, paired it with a Cesar Lizardo, and you're sitting easy street right now. But looking back at this board, is, I guess, what's the most surprising early pick? I'm not going to do this the whole time, but like, we're like in 15s, we all emphasize having to go pitching early. So I know we all, you, me, pretty much anybody listening that played 15 teams, took 1 or 2 guys in this range. And it's made or break your season pretty much already.
Yeah. So most surprising on the down end is Hunter Brown, of course. Probably Garrett Crochet. I mean,
yeah.
Given the volume from Crochet last year, like maybe you can make the argument of such a big spike that there were some concerns there. But I would definitely say Hunter Brown is the biggest surprise. Biggest surprise in a good way. I would probably say Chris Sale, just for how old he is and how freaking good he is, and just has not missed a start. Like, he's just been. He's been incredible. And I don't recall like Chris Sale being much in the SP4 conversation. Maybe I need to listen to more pods, but certainly wasn't in our conversation. Like, it was more like Sanchez, Yoshi, like Brian Wu, like those types. Reagans was popular. Chris Sale kind of floated under the radar for his, you know, for as little as a top 30 overall pick can do, but he's fully delivered. He's been awesome.
Yeah, that's a fair one. Yeah, he was not in Vinny that I heard. And I listened to plenty of podcasts, and I didn't really hear a lot of Chris Sale there. So my biggest disappointment surprise is Logan Webb. Outside of Freddie Peralta. Like, that's easy. Like, I'm going to go with Webb just because he was like the model of consistency. He's like a poor man's Dylan Cease, like where you're going to get ratios probably better than Cease, but not the strikeouts. So that's kind of where you go. Like, I didn't like the price tag jump, and he got that because of the year he had, but Logan Webb, my surprise, I guess, on the, green side of things. I'm going to still keep saying Logan Gilbert just because I watched the man pitch, and it feels like anytime he's out of Seattle, he's getting shelled.
Doesn't look pretty.
Yet you look at his freaking stat line, and it's 15th at the position, and it plays very, very well. And it's one of those where I kind of have to just get over, you know, we talk about it every offseason, our biases. And Logan Gilbert is 1,000% a bias for me. Like, and I need to probably adjust my thinking there.
I'm writing Gilbert up this week for Facts and Flukes. Nice. And interesting pitch mix change midseason for Logan Gilbert. His fastball movement, whiffs are all back. Velocity's up. He's on the live Bloom boards tool for Patreon folks. Logan Gilbert is everywhere. He's on pitch mix. He's on velocity gain and K to walk gain. Over the last 30 days for any pitcher. So that also helps in terms of, like, I know we thought Logan Gilbert was steady Eddie, you know, volume, and missed 7-8 weeks last year with a flexor strain. Yep. Velocity seems to be fully back. Skills are fully back for Logan Gilbert, which is a great sign, you know, two-thirds of the way through the season.
Very nice. Looking forward to checking that out. I believe that comes out, what, Thursday for you?
Facts that will flukes, come out
yeah, I can't
Thursday. Remember. You know yeah, this more than I do.
Yeah, because your speculator is on Wednesday, just like my PT tomorrow. So, yeah, it's like Thursday. Yeah. All right, SP 21 through 40. Oh, best teammate in baseball, Framber Valdez. This is before the blow up, so this is might get even worse for Framber. But I'm just going to pocket like five together here to finish on the top 100 ADP. So this is again where it gets interesting. We'll do it again in the offseason of would you rather, like who'd you take to make or break it? There's Framber, he's 134th of the position. Then seven picks later at 75, Nolan McClain's 24th of the position.
Yep.
Then 10 picks later is Pivetta at 120, who's on the IL. And then at pick 88 is the third best pitcher in baseball, Zach Wheeler, who didn't start the season with the team because he's on the IL. Then you got Emmett Sheehan at 91. He's 144. I think that 144 is friendly because he, similar to Freddie Peralta, has been unusable in 12-team and shallower leagues of late. So what's your thoughts as we wrap up the top 100, which would actually be the top 25 picks in the pitchers in the draft?
Yeah. So, yeah, one out of every four picks was a – starting pitcher in the top 100. I mean, the highlight's got to be Zach Wheeler, right? I mean, everyone's kicking themselves for Zach Wheeler. Everyone who did not draft Zach Wheeler, and then people like you.
I took him in the meatball, and then I stopped. I know. Like an idiot.
Then you stopped. You needed more
Zach Wheeler. Third round Wheeler, or whatever it was.
It's unbelievable. And again, spoiler alert, the next group of starting pitchers, the number one and number two guys are there here. So it's just fascinating. The top three starting pitchers, as we record this on July 21st, ADP 88, 104, 106. They were all right there next to each other. Zach Wheeler. And I don't know, man. We've got all off season and maybe longer to debate this, but like it's the old pitcher coming off of a pretty major surgery. I know it wasn't like the bad thoracic outlet, but they're all bad. With diminished velocity coming back, like I need to think about is there a lesson learned from Zach Wheeler, or is he like the unicorn? Because people are going to point to Zach Wheeler as okay, I can start taking some risks on currently injured pitchers, you know, starting around pick 100, you know, because of Zach Wheeler in 2026. I'm not sure if I'm ready to go there yet, but anyone who did this year is, I mean, holy hell, that has been an absolute gold mine.
Yeah, and I think you made a very, very valid point there that we will discuss in the offseason that I wouldn't use this as this feels more like a unicorn than the way is what I would say
like,
about it.
So you took Wheeler in the meatball, and for folks who don't know what the meatball is, that's our draft and hold.
You're going to know it about 3 weeks.
Starts up pretty soon. That's our draft and hold we do for the following season. We started in August, and Bubba took Wheeler. Like very, I think before thoracic outlet was even a thing.
Yeah, he was supposed to be like getting ready to start throwing and ramping up and would be ready by spring. Like the news was really good about that point in time. And then it went the other direction for a bit after the draft.
I mean, did that scare you off from Wheeler, the thoracic?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was.
Once you start hearing thoracic, dude, that's why I don't think you're wrong in your assessment. And that's why I didn't draft him. And the only time I thought about it is obviously it was in Vegas for the auction, but his price then still seemed too high. I felt like he was going, I could be wrong. I felt like it was like 17, 18 bucks still. I feel like I'd have to go check. I could be totally wrong. I feel like he was going like the same price or more than Miz Schlittler, like that range we're about to talk about. That blew people out of the water. So, but still worth every penny. So,
oh yeah. And then
tough to say.
And then some. Other name I want to call out is Nolan McClain. That was a polarizing guy. I know I recall back to me being the low man on Nolan McClain. Well, me, you, and Martin Sikulski were doing our offseason rankings for the Patreon. You guys convinced me to bump Nolan McClain a little bit. Potentially lesson learned here is I just did not buy the strikeouts for Nolan McClain. The swinging strike just did not support it at all. And Nolan McClain for the second year in a row has has vastly outperformed his swinging strike rate in terms of Ks. Nolan McLean leads all of baseball in called strikes right now. So I think that's a potential blind spot. And Nolan McLean obviously is an outlier in terms of that, just because he is the major league leader in called strikes. But is there something, or not is there, there is something Nolan McLean's doing, obviously, that that a swinging strike rate isn't capturing, that he can get those called strikes and make it work. So hell of a season for Nolan McLean. I know there's been some ups and downs, but in general, it's been a really good year for Nolan McLean, who I have none of.
Yeah, I had to look back right now. As you said that, you bumped him up to 35th. So you're close.
I had him like, I remember having him like 50 or 60 or something.
Yeah. So you got, because I just looked, I had 22, Martin 23 or vice versa. So
there you go. Yeah,
you were right there. All right, let's go to the next pocket here. Let's go ADP 101 through 106. You got Glasnow. I don't know how he's still 53rd. That's amazing. That's how good he was. He's been out forever, and he's still there. Gavin Gossman, this is in the Logan Webb conversation. Let's just stop here for a second.
Yeah.
Kevin Gossman, ADP 101, 332 overall, 110 at the position, got smacked around again on Tuesday night. That's not factored into this ranking, of course, but you look at Gossman now after tonight's start, a 4.51 ERA, Ryan, that is not going to cut it in the old Gossman standards. And coming into tonight, he had still an 18% K to walk, which is what we want to see. But the splitty, I don't know if the splitty splitting or what it is, but the production is definitely not there.
Yeah, one of the many reasons for my failing Vegas auction team is Mr. Kevin Gossman. I don't know. It's always with Gossman, you feel like it's the end whenever he struggles. And I think it is just the split finger, man. Like, I don't know, when he has feel for it, he's really good. When he doesn't, he's not. And it's been that way for the last few years for Kevin Gossman. I do wonder, like, again, Gossman's on this list, kind of older guy we thought would be safe. We didn't really talk about world's greatest teammate, Framber Valdez, but we had him up there. Freddie Peralta, Logan Webb. Is there something that I need to avoid from these old, boring starting pitchers who may have more downside than upside, especially when we start talking about these youths who have been just so damn good? Just something I'm thinking about for next year.
Yeah, Gossman is 35, so definitely should be on your – maybe like stick to the old bats more so than the pitchers.
Or how about I'll just draft the old injured guys like Wheeler, and that'll work instead.
So that's still an anomaly. But let's get to the important part now. ADP 104 and 106 respectively. 10th overall, second overall. So these are first round values. Cam Schlittler is the second best pitcher in baseball. Jacob Mizorowski, the Miz, is first at the position. I think everyone knows the Miz and how good the Miz is. This, to me, highlights just how good Cam Schlittler has been. And if you're not a Yankees fan or a diehard fantasy football or fantasy baseball fan, you might not know. Maybe if you are a fantasy football fan, you still might not know who Cam Schlittler is. And this is how good he is. He's right behind the Miz.
With a ton of skill support. It's impressive what Cam Schlittler can do. And with pretty much all fastballs, I like watching him pitch. It's like three different versions of a fastball.
He goes pretty much
which what he throws. Yeah, he's aggressive as hell. 30% strikeout rate. Like, doesn't really walk anybody. 5% walk. It's very impressive for Cam Schlittler. And who the hell knows, man? I mean, obviously, doesn't have the, again, who are we to try and project innings on a starting pitcher, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say Cam Schlittler is going to throw more innings the rest of the season than the Miz. So
I think that's safe.
This guy's got a, I don't want to say decent chance, but like if I was betting on someone to be the number one starting pitcher in fantasy this year, given Schlittler's skills and trajectory and age, it's kind of wild to say that, but I agree. He's fallen under the radar a little bit as the number two starting pitcher. I think a lot of folks knew he was good. Myself included, I didn't know he was this good. It's impressive.
I remember when we talked about this range of young arms, we'll talk about a couple more in a second. Schlittler is the only one I liked because I trusted his skills and innings to not kill him, basically. So far, they're all healthy. Yep. And it's worked out. But Schlittler, I didn't think he'd be this good. Not going to try to claim that by any means. But if I had to pick one of them, he was the one I was picking. So that made me feel a little better. Do I have a lot of shares? No. But that's because I took a couple of guys we'll talk about in a second. Sandwiched between a really great pocket here is Nate the Great, Eovaldi. 188 overall, 57th at the position. He's been banged up per usual, but when he's on the mound, he's been decent. I'll give you a moment to speak on him if you like.
No, that's fair. He's been decent. Eovaldi's been much better. Under the hood, as they say, skills are still, I think, really good with Nate Eovaldi. For as pure as Nate Eovaldi ran last year with the luck factors, they have completely reversed course. I mean, you look at like an XFIP Sierra, those are 330, 340 ERA, and Eovaldi's sitting with a 420 ERA right now. So I don't know. He's been fine, but could have been better.
Yep. All right. So now we'll go to the next pocket here. We talked about Schlittler and Miz at ADP 104 and 106. At 114, 116, and 118, respectively, have Sonny Gray, Chase Burns, Drew Rasmussen. Sonny, the 14th overall pitcher, Burns, the 12th, Rasmussen, the 22nd. This is great for so many reasons, Ryan, because A, we love Sonny Gray. So that we were actually benefiting from that one. But then, and I'll give you the floor to talk as much as you want to say, Burns, we were scared to death of. So at least we got Gray. That's the positive. Rasmussen, I didn't know what to do with the way they monitored his innings, and I just stayed away, unfortunately. Yeah. I'll stop there. What are your thoughts on this pocket that if you just take out Eovaldi, there's a five-pick spectrum that if you did wait for an SP2 or if this is an SP3, life is really good.
Really good. And like in auctions, you could have had you had three of these guys. And like you are crushing. So, yeah, Sonny Gray's awesome. If it wasn't for the Patriots Day didn't exist, I know I'm alienating our Boston friends here. It's my least favorite game of the year. If that game didn't exist, perhaps Sonny Gray's even higher on this list, but I digress. Chase Burns, again, agree. We were both off. For me, it was not the talent. It was the lack of innings and the injury last year. And it can be debated, was that a phantom IL stint for Chase Burns or not? I was just going to say, okay, I'm going to pass on Chase Burns, and if you pick him, and I'll tip your cap. And I'm doing plenty of cap tipping this season. I was wondering
if you had to get that. Yes.
Yeah, try to get that out. Yeah. So
you had a great year last year. We can't do it every year.
Can't do it all. And I think we'll talk about Rasmussen in just a second, but I just think the glaring takeaway, it's right in front of us. It's Schlittler, Mizorowski, Chase Burns. Picks 104, 106, and 116 are the number one, number two, and number 12 starting pitchers. That's something I need to consider next year. Is I say this every year and I don't do it, but do we need to not think we can project innings for these guys and just take the best damn pitchers out there?
I'm glad you just said it, because we do say it on this show a lot. It's just take the skills, worry about the roles later. Yeah. Like, and it's so true. It's happened time and time again. When Crochet was great and then kind of got shut down, Miz might get shut down here in a roundabout way. Same thing. Chris Sale was great till he got the freak injury. Like, if you got that early production, you're still way ahead of the curve. And like, there's so much to be said about it. Our style has not allowed us to change our mindset on that, but
need to.
It's one of those things we need to do. And it's not just a Captain Hindsight thing. It's just happened like 3 or 4 years in a row. So it is a trend involved in this one. It's the old baseball HQ added twisted a little bit, is draft skills, not roles. That's kind of where this goes.
It's like draft skills, not injuries or something. I don't know. Don't pretend we know who's going to stay healthy and who's going to not. Though then again, it's all the pitchers, because the safe, boring Sonny Gray worked out just fine for us. The safe, boring Dylan Cease worked out for us. So I don't know.
Maybe it's more like, why did so and so suck? What was the reason besides the injuries? What, like, because we used to just think guys were so safe, and now you got like Kirby's and other guys all banged up. So who knows? It's all, there's a few glass doesn't surprise me, but he's still 53rd, which is insane to me. All right, let's wrap up the top 40 here, because it gets red, folks. Griffin Jacks, that's going to keep going up, though, now that he's starting and pitching well. That was just because he was a closer and got incorporated here. Nick Lodolo, Blister, King of the Blister. He's taking over the Blister God role. Michael King, it's weird because he's supposed to be healthy, but he doesn't pitch like he's healthy. Your boy Shota, if he's not giving up home runs, very good. It's a big if. Sandy Alcantara has been good, but still 60th. Trevor Rogers is 123rd, and he might be the biggest climber on this board by the time the season's over. He's actually pitched really well. And then Woodruff is dead, so he's going to fall off the board. Anything on this bottom, like eight names?
I mean, Shota, I've got to at least mention the man since he was on.
I wasn't going to point the finger, so I was just, yeah.
I think it was 75% of my NFBC teams I picked Shota. Roller coaster, man. Not for the faint of heart. I was feeling really good for the first month, and then Shota just died. And then now he's fine. Like I if I had to do this all over, I'd take Shota where he was going. I think that's fine. Lodolo's an interesting one. Like, yes, I was super in on Nick Lodolo, but very much backed off once the blister formed. Once there was a setback. This was like late draft season with the blister reappearing for Nick Lodolo, like that stuff. That is one where you just have to like react to spring training news and react quickly and say, yeah, I've been on this guy for 3 months of drafting, but I am totally off now. I think that's pretty much explains everything with Nick Lodolo. But the problem with Lodolo, it's something every year. It's like his groin, his leg is now it's a blister again. Like, I don't know, man. I'll always love the dude, but like, just cannot get it done for a full season.
Yep, no, full agree. And one of these years, he's going to do it, and he won't be on any of our teams, and we're going to be like, yep, there it is. But or I can already see the conversation now, Ryan, his ADP drops to like 250 next year, and here comes Ryan. He's back, baby. He's back. And I wouldn't fault you, but because we're going to start talking about ADP 250 in a second.
At a 250 ADP, yeah. I'll be back. He'll probably be back
at around 200 if he falls to that. So we'll see where that goes. Speaking of which, let's flip the script. Let's look at 41 through 80 in the starting pitching world as it started to get, you know, we hit the highlights in the top 40. Not sure there's going to be a lot of highlights to hit the rest of the way, folks. So buckle up, as we like to say on the show. Holy crap.
This is Bubba grilling at the county fair. There's about 800 rare steak reds on this thing. To put some, again, for the non-visual crowd, we're looking at starting pitchers again drafted 40 through 80. Out of those 40 pitchers, only 1, 2, 3, I'll say six. Out of starting pitchers 40 through 80 drafted, only six of them have been top 40 pitchers this season. And some of those is Braxton Ashcraft at 42, seems to be falling apart. Jose Soriano at 45. I'm looping them in to top 40 pitchers just because they're so close. Yeah, because they're worth it.
Rangers and Casey Mize at 40. Minor IL stint, like... I could justify some of these because you're replaced at that point, like Connelly early.
Yeah, that's fair. However, I would argue 30 of these 40 picks have just been atrocious.
Yeah, and we'll run
through it's them. Really bad, man.
We'll run through them rapidly, and literally 15 teams, you're just SOL. But in 12s out of like those 33 picks, how many are even rostered right now? That's the real question. And should they be? It's a whole other conversation, which we don't have time for tonight. Yeah. But I'm going to do these in pockets of five, Ryan, like we do preseason-wise. Kicking off 41 through 45, Bubba Chandler, Strider, Gavin Williams, Shane McClanahan, Shane O'Mac, and Mackenzie Gore, ADP 141 through 151. And they range 224, 131, 34, 39 for Williams, McClanahan, 122 at the position. Yeah, outside of Gavin Williams, McClanahan, Ryan, like you kind of hinted at earlier, it's not great. Not great at all.
It is not. We'll be positive on this one. We'll focus on the good. Gavin Williams, and a nice step forward for Mr. Gavin Williams, age 26 season. You like to see the improvements. For me, it was always the lack of control for Gavin Williams. It was like a 12% walk rate last year. Just had me completely off. and has taken that walk rate down to 7.5% for Gavin Williams with a 30% K rate. Like he's missing more. Like everything good is happening right now for Gavin Williams. A major step forward. And kudos to the folks. There were some smart folks that just kind of watch and see Gavin Williams and were like, yeah, I get it. The skills don't look good, but there is something here. And certainly there was something there with Gavin Williams. This has been a major step forward for Gavin Williams.
Yep. Love this one. It's one guy I was actually kind of excited for on this one. The next pocket, yeah, Mackenzie Gore. It's been more of the second half swoon once again. I'll throw that out there. So,
are you surprised by McClanahan at all? I feel like I remember you were actually starting to get in on McClanahan because yes. He did look really good this spring. I mean, he's the opposite of Lodolo, right?
Yes, and his price was very palatable. Where I'm like, okay, screw it, as a SP3 or even 4, depending on how aggressive I was, I'll take the gamble at that point and see where it goes. And so far, so good. The only frustrating part is, like, if you drafted him, he had some, like, early season setbacks. So keeping him was a struggle because the news was also wonky on him. But once he came back, it's been pretty good from there. We'll see how the workload still goes the rest of the way, though.
Yeah.
So 46 through 50, you got Robbie Ray, Shane Boz, Tatsuya Imai, Cade Horton, who's dead, Edric Cabrera, might as well be. Ray's the best pitcher in this group, which is terrifying because he sucks. Shane Boz and Imai have been much better the last like month and a half, I'll say, but they're still not great.
No,
I'm just trying to justify worlds where this makes sense.
There's no justification. This has been a truly awful group. I guess Robbie Ray technically has a 3.33 ERA. I don't know how that's possible.
What's his whip?
1.30.
Yeah, he freaking sucks. Like watching him pitch it kills me. Maybe it's because the Giants just suck, so it all wraps together. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, been the best of the bunch. Honestly, it hasn't been because he got 8 wins with Robbie Ray. Like that's
maybe
not
that's,
awful.
Maybe
either.
That's what it was.
96 Ks. Like, I guess I could. That's a reasonable pick. I guess the others on this have just been atrocious.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Has Imai even been that much? I know he had a decent stretch.
He threw well again tonight, like over 6 innings. Like it's been control with him ever since he joined the Astros. Like tonight, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 3 walks, 8 Ks. So
yeah,
like you can live with that.
Before that, 3 walks. The start before that, 5 walks. Like,
but then he had a stretch of 101. He had back to back 10 K for like.
Yeah.
It feels like he's still getting acclimated, and he's at least showing signs of life over the last like month and a half. So that's what I'm saying. Him and Boz, even Boz has looked much better. It's not great, but he's looked much better. They're showing signs of life that if they can kind of just do it for 2 more months, you can tell yourself, okay, it still sucks, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world compared to the rest of this board.
Assuming Imai and Boz are on the teams that drafted them at this point.
Yeah, Boz is still on my 15ers, yes. Imai, that's another story for another day. The next 5, Luis Castillo, Ranger Suarez, Tanner Bibee, ya boy, Aaron Nola, and Chris Bubich, 254th, 90th, 244th, that you picked that
Aaron
one is,
Nola.
At 113. Those are the rankings at the position. So Ranger Suarez is the best of the bunch.
Yeah, and for the record, I think I only drafted Aaron Nola one time this season. So shove it, people. He's no longer my boy. I disowned
quit,
him.
He quit. He quit on him.
I quit on him. I think he quit on himself.
I think so. Yes. Yeah, I'm with you there.
Got paid though. Good for him.
The worst part was he looked good in the WBC, so people started picking him.
Yeah,
he's pitching for Italy.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah, a little surprised he's Tanner Bibee so low at 90.
I was about to say, he's the biggest surprise in this group to me.
Like, I feel like Tanner Bibee's actually been fine. So maybe this is just a evaluation thing. But 115 whip for Mr. Tanner Bibee. I guess the problem with Bibee is something out of his control. He's got 4 wins. He's 4-9. Like that is going to crush you in terms of valuation. But Bibee himself has been okay.
Yep, with you there. All right, final 5 in this 55, 56 through 60. Mr. Captain Jack Flaherty thought he was coming back. Now he's on the IL with a flexor strain. So see ya, buddy. Kodai Senga doesn't even know where the starting rotation is anymore. Matthew Boyd is 87th. Carlos Rodon is 88th. Both those two have pitched well, but also landed on the IL. And then Blake Snell's 168th, and he's barely pitched this year. I have nothing to say in this. Like, it's like Rodon was actually really good, and he got hurt, and I don't know if we'll ever see him again.
Yep, agreed. And Boyd to a lesser extent, though he's back and can salvage things with
him. He got put on the IL too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
With the flexor strain.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So he might be gone for the rest of the year now, too.
Yeah, so this group sucks, too. Yeah. Again, like this is just...
Oh, it gets worse. It gets worse, guys.
Oh, it gets a lot worse, people, with guys that have pitched a lot to even destroy you even more. Like, let's get there, and then we'll go to bigger takeaways. But you all are sensing a theme here. Your SP 4 and 5 have been terrible.
You're streaming right now.
To the point you don't even have them anymore.
Yeah. So, like, when we do the Fab Show, we say, do you want a two-step from Tyler Molle this week? Probably a better option than these guys at this point in time for the two-step.
Well, and this is why you're fired up about like Robert Gasser. It's like,
yeah, that's why when you're talking about that, you look at this board, this is exactly why I got a road Rocky start this week. Yeah, let's go.
Yep. No, makes sense.
The next five here, 61 through 65, Zach Gallen, Mike Burrows, everyone's sleeper pick.
Who have somehow both been worse than Aaron Nola.
Yes, amazing. Well, because Nola at least takes the mound every fifth day. Jack Leiter, who actually started the year so good, and then it just fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
Braxton Ashcraft, to your point, was one of the best pitchers in baseball, and it's slowly dwindling as he's getting tired. And then Garrett Cole, who kind of has pitched better of late, and he missed a lot of time with injury. So he's probably an outlier here. Like you were talking about some guys that were top 50 pitchers. By season's end, Cole could probably pitch his way in to the top 50, especially the way the rest of the pitching landscape looks. But this is bad.
This is really bad. I know for me, Burrow's a massive L. I really liked him. I really liked the way he finished 2025 and just did not carry over to 2026. Though on that, I remember this Bloom board, you wrote it up for the Patreon, kind of the best pitchers of the last 2 months of 2025. Burrows was all over that, but so was Braxton Ashcraft. Like I don't know. It turned out to be so far hit or miss, but definitely some hits on that group. But Burrows was really bad. Jack Leiter, that was confounding because his first few starts were awesome. Ashcraft, I feel like is trending the wrong way, but that's maybe a separate conversation. I guess the skills have been okay for Ashcraft over the last 3-4 starts when he's starting to fall down a bit, but I don't know, man. He's very much into uncharted workload territory.
Yep. All right, 66 through 70. We just talked about some guys that have completely destroyed you. Well, at least some of these guys, this gets worse because those first five, some of them are on the IL and just easy drops. But this next crew, like Cody Ponce, he's gone. But Ryan Weathers, I'm still dealing with that. He's 124th of the position. Andrew Abbott is still – this is why this is great, because he's been very serviceable, I'll be honest. He pitched great in Seattle on Monday. Still 143rd of the position. Like, in reality, not good. Treya Savage is 85th, and it seems to be getting worse, kind of like that Ashcraft thing. Like, your Savage might be getting tired. And then Shane Smith, he made one start. So that was an easy drop. But my point is – Weathers, Abbott, and Yesavage, at least in deep, like 12 team leagues, Weathers and Yesavage probably still getting used. Maybe not Weathers, but Yesavage is. But Weathers, Abbott, and Yesavage, they're still getting used in 15s religiously. And I guess it's okay considering the rest of the landscape, but it's not great at all.
Yeah. And they're still being used and still hurting you, at least for most of those guys. The Shane Smith one is just
baffling.
Guy just dropped off the face. He had like he was their opening day starter.
He was their ace.
Then they just sent him away to never be seen again. Like, where is Shane Smith?
He's in AAA pitching for where are they? Charlotte, the Knights. Oh yeah,
like just completely bizarre. Shane Smith was very popular,
and for good reasons. The way last season ended,
yeah.
Like it made sense.
There's got to be more to that story. Shoulder injury in AAA, Shane Smith. He's only thrown 25 innings in the minors this year. So, yes, where is Shane Smith? Is, you know, if anyone knows, I would be interested in finding that out, finding out that information.
All right, 71 through 75, Ryan Nelson, 174th the position. Connelly Early is 58th in the position. That's he's been good. So this is a good pocket. Max Meyer, 16th at the position with an ADP of 254. That's great. IL with the neck now. Jose Soriano's 45th at the position. He's dwindled, but good start on Monday. And then there's Mick Abel, 146. He was actually looked like starting to figure things out, and then he's gotten hurt as well. But that early Meyer Soriano pocket, that if you somehow jumped on that, and we had a lot of Soriano, you were living good early on, at least.
Early on, yeah. It's been above a 5 ERA for basically since April. So it, I don't know. April was so good, though.
Number one pitcher in the game.
Yeah, he was the number one pitcher in the game. That's right. That's crazy to think about. And now, you know, Walbert Urania has taken his spot as number one pitcher in the game, apparently. But
amen.
I don't know. The Max Meyer, and even Max Meyer, again, you're playing with house money at this point with Max Meyer. Uncharted workload territory, just like with Braxton Ashcraft. And yeah, I just don't know when we see Max Meyer again. So I don't know.
Yep. All right. The last pocket here. Will Warren, 75 through 80, 76 through 80. Will Warren, ADP 258, he's 109. And he's a guy people continue to start. Not great. I stopped starting him a while ago. Cade Cavalli is 84th. He's been better now that he's back in the rotation. Chad Patrick, 65th. That's out of the bullpen, folks. Just to keep that in mind for you. He's been outstanding. Joey Cantillo, 93. Casey Mize, 40. So, honestly, Cavalli, Cantillo, Mize, you're okay with this at 76 through 80. Like, they're not – like, Mize, you definitely are. But even Cantillo and Cavalli, they've served you quite well.
Yeah, Cantillo does. The problem with him is just always whip. It's a 142 whip. Like, that's pretty crappy. But 8 wins, 374 ERA, and, decent strikeouts for Cantillo. So he's been fine. Casey Mize is the nice one. Casey Mize, I want to see him stay healthy. And, like, this groin issue just keeps coming back for Casey Mize. And I guess he's going to try and make his next start later this week. But doesn't give me the warm and fuzzies. But I think he's a really good pitcher.
Yeah, no, he's been great, like you said. Just can't stay on. So any final thoughts on this top 80 before you give out the breakouts that are missing Walbert Urania? But I will mention, just for those keeping track at home, Walbert Urania, as of Tuesday, July 21st, that does not count his gym he threw on Tuesday, Walbert Urania is the 70th starting pitcher on the Fangraphs 15-team player rater, directly behind Logan Webb, who's 69th, and Michael Walk is 67th. Okay. So much smaller sample for Walbert Urania, and he is the 70th best starting pitcher. He's ahead of his teammate Reed Detmers. And he's pitched really, really well no matter the shade that wants to get thrown his direction.
Yeah, 5 wins, 132 whip.
That's one more win than Tanner Bibee.
That is. It's kind of crazy to think about. And Cantillo with eight wins on the same team as Tanner Bibee, who only has 4. So it's even trickier. Maybe I was a little harsh on SP 40 through 80. Like, maybe – so definitely more than half have been disasters.
Yes, it's been
a little bit. But maybe it's like 40% you're okay with, and a handful out of 40 have been, like, legitimately great picks.
I guess it's
just tough.
I guess it's just like changing the mindset that we're all dealing with this section of the draft. So we're all having one or two of these guys that are like, as long as you don't have the worst of the bunch, I guess is the best way I can say it. That's why I'm saying, like, Cantillo and Cavalli, like, you'd be pretty happy right now if you could roll them out there every week as your SP5. So it's just tricky because there are a ton of landmines in this section as well.
And I think that's a really good point, is like, yeah, everyone is dealing with this issue, or dealt, I guess, in the past tense, dealt with this issue. The ones who have been able to pivot and build a fab staff like you have in we've been talking about, I mean, your Vegas team again, Monday, not considering, but built a lot through fab, and there have been a lot of fab breakouts. And I think that is, that's always the case with starting pitchers. It's just, you gotta always be hunting fab for any kind, even if you don't need a starting pitcher that week, you just need to have depth and keep going. I think that's been a thing for you, is like, you talk about bench streamers this year more than ever, and kind of having a lot more pitchers on your bench than
I have a ton of pitchers.
Yeah, most people would have. I think that's worked out really well for you, because it just helps build depth, because yeah, a lot of these guys are just going to either get hurt or just blow up, and you've got to have the depth to backfill them.
You're not forced to pitch them in like a very sketchy matchup just because you don't have any options. And like another guy you're not going to mention because he's not in the top 30 overall, but one of the guys like through FAB is Jake Bennett. He's 39th on the Player Rater, 39th, and he's only pitched half the season. So yeah. I'm just trying to add guys, because you're talking about the waiver wire has – had some nice options if you had to, you know, get rid of a Mike Burrows or a Zach Gallen or others along the way to make a difference.
And you're right. Yeah. The not double-edged sword, but the double bonus, I guess, of having it, let's say Jake Bennett is, yeah, maybe you started Bennett and you bench Burrows three starts earlier than I did. Right. And like that, that matters. It's the double whammy of not getting good starts, but also getting more bad starts.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember when I added Bennett, I got him 13th and no runner-up. And everyone's like, why'd you add Jake Bennett? I'm like, well, he's going to take a rotation spot. Let's see what he can do. that one goes panned out. Many of them don't. So I'm just going to mention that as well.
Yep.
But
yep.
You got to take the shots at the same time. So let's talk breakouts. What do you got here? Because I just mentioned a few that aren't on the list for valid reasons, but there are some that have been very, very good.
Yeah, so breakout's a loose term here, but I'm just saying anybody on the Fangraphs Player Rater that's a top 30 starting pitcher. And of the top 30, 12 of the top 30 are quote-unquote breakouts. So that they were all taken after Casey Mize, after pick 265, or not even taken at all. But it's interesting that 12 of the 30 fall into that group, kind of going back to what we were just talking about. There's just a lot of turnover. It's a volatile thing. So I'm just going to list, maybe we'll do this in two groups of six, since there were 12 of them. Foster the Griffin, number 7 starting pitcher.
Amazing. Amazing.
Unbelievable. I guess I had Max Meyer on here. I don't know why. So only 11 out of 30. Apologies. Justin Robleski, was 15th. Parker Messick is 16. Kyle Harrison, RIP potentially, number 20, Ben Brown, 22, and Nick Martinez at 23. I mean, the highlight there is Foster the Griffin. That was out of nowhere. I will give Parker Messick a shout, because I feel like that is someone that a lot of sharps were on late in draft season, that where you could kind of look back and see like, okay, this makes sense in hindsight. Foster the Griffin, I don't know. You just, again, tip your cap. Like, he's been... it's been incredible. I don't know how anyone could have seen that one coming, though.
No, I think people like looked at Griffin going, okay, like this could be a SP5 or 6 where he'll give you okay ratios, but who knows what really comes with it. He's been nothing short of superb. Like 7th overall is amazing for a guy that was either one of the last picks in the draft or not drafted at all. And then the Messick one's a great point, because I remember in Vegas, it was starting to become clear that Friday and Saturday that he had a great shot of being the 5th in that rotation. And he started creeping up the auction boards and the draft boards. And that one's panned out really, really well. If like you were taking him before that final weekend in Vegas, you got a gift with Parker Messick.
And that is also one where I remember this, not to shade Roster Resource, but Roster Resource had everyone. That's what everyone looks at. Sorry, Kurland, but do rotation projections. I'm being too harsh. Kurland does awesome work at Prospects Live. I do check his stuff out.
He only does hitters. He doesn't do pitching.
That's what I mean. But that's exactly.
I'm clarifying. So
everyone's looking at Roster Research for the Cleveland rotation, and they had Logan Allen in the rotation and Parker Messick in the minors to start the season. At the end of draft season, that completely flipped. Allen was booted. Parker Messick was the 5th starter, and Parker Messick has not looked back. So, again, maybe I'm being too simplistic there. Everyone looks at Roster Research, but just do your own research. If you think Parker Messick's good enough to, or the next Parker Messick, If most folks don't have him in the rotation, but he's good enough to be in there, and there's an obvious replacement who's not good, pull that trigger.
Yep. What do you got for the final five?
All right, so we've got Bryce Miller at 24, which shocking to me. Troy Melton, 26. Emerson Hancock, 27. So two Mariners there. Yep. Peter Lambert, 28. And Sean Burke. What the hell? Sean Burke, 29 on the Fangraphs Player Rater.
Well, first off, you have now four Mariners in the top 27 once again because Luis Castillo fell out, but Hancock jumped in. So that just continues to show how good they are. But I want to, like, Troy Melton, not even a full season, and he continues to get better in the strikeout department. Like, it's been very impressive watching his gains on the mound in Detroit. And Peter Lambert actually talked about him with Welsh this morning on Fantasy Pros, that Peter Lambert is a guy that, like, people at least wanted to look at Foster Griffin at the end of drafts. Peter Lambert, I don't think most people could tell you who he was at one point in time. And then, and that's not even a shot at you, buddy, because I couldn't have told you who Peter Lambert is. But he is literally one of the most, like, don't even think about, you're just starting him, pitchers in baseball right now. And I know he's 28th on the Player Rater, so you don't think that. You think top 10. But just what he does out there is boring, as beautiful as it comes. And he's done it all season long. So I just want to give a hat tip to that. He's not listening, and there's his family. But Peter Lambert has been just absolute gift, and one of those, like, where did that come from?
Yeah, like, I mean, struggled in Colorado, who doesn't, but then goes overseas and posts a 150 whip and 426 ERA and 116 innings in the NPB, and then comes over and does this. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know, man, whatever. Hell of a season for Peter Lambert, though. It's nuts. Bryce Miller to me is one of the more surprising ones. Just did not think for 1 second the health would be there, and the skills were pretty bad last year. Bryce Miller has proven me wrong on both accounts. He stayed healthy, and this is the Bryce Miller of a couple years ago, where the skills were pretty damn good. Awesome season for Big Tex, as they call him.
Big Tex, very, very good. All right, let's get to some listener questions, and then we can get everybody out of here. In the chat, TDK said, who's going to get it all back or fall off a cliff to normalize their numbers by year's end? Let's go back to the first slide, if you can, if you can access that one.
Yeah, fall off a cliff, I will say, I hate to say it, but say Braxton Ashcraft. Maybe a cliff is too harsh. Because he has pitched okay lately, but I worry about the workload with Ashcraft. He's not even on this first slide.
No, he's on the second slide. Okay, but
never mind.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Like, for me, the fall off a cliff that worries me is it's still Jacob DeGrom. I still don't believe what I see out there. I know he's 33rd, so maybe it's not a big cliff, but I'm still not sold on that one. And to get it all back. That's a big term. All back.
One I'll throw out there, I was planning to cover him on the Thursday show, is this could be a good time to pick up Nick Pivetta. He's drafted everywhere, he's rehabbing. Wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world for Nick Pivetta to come back and have an awesome final 6-7 weeks of the season. So I'll just throw that one out there.
Yep, he's facing live hitters this week, so rehab assignment hopefully starts next week with Pivetta. Yep. And it's funny you mentioned that, because I think we briefly brought him up. He's picked up in 6 main events this last week, according to the Fab Tracker that Ryan puts together. Average bit of $16, picked up in 16 OCs, so still available in plenty of leagues. This will probably be the last week to try and sneak him by to what Ryan is getting at there.
Kudos to those 6 Pivetta ad. I actually wanted to see who those people are.
That's the kind of stuff when we could be talking to Ur just a little bit about picking guys up on the wire. Those are the kind of moves you got to take a chance on.
That's next level stuff, man. That's kudos. That's good stuff.
Yeah. So you got into Pivetta. I'll go with, I'm still a believer in what Trevor Rogers is doing. I think he'll be at least a top 100 pitcher, if not top 75 by season's end. And he put himself well behind the eight ball to get to that point. All right, some Discord questions here. Lang says, which of these guys from the first page outside the top 100 position rank do you have the most faith and a bounce back. So I said, you said Pivetta, I said Rogers, so we're good there. JM10,000 says, does Kevin Gossman just suck now? He's had mostly bad results since the beginning of June. Sierra was still decent for the season heading into his awful start today. And his velocity was in line with previous seasons and slightly down from 25, but in line with 24 seasons, 2025 and 2024. Do you know of a shaman or a fantasy exorcist that can animate the corpse and make him put to quality stats? Thanks.
Love the question. To directly answer the question, no, I do not. No, hey, yes. No, a shaman that could do that. I don't know, man. Gossman's just at the end of the year, Gossman always just ends up with like a mid threes ERA, and that's what happens. You just have to trust that he gets the feel for the splitter back. I don't think he's cooked. We could have said that the last 2-3 seasons for Kevin Gossman. He's been during his down spells, and he's been just fine. So I think you ride it out, but I admit it has been very brutal to see on my Vegas team.
Ben Ted says it's pretty insane that it looks like the play was to fade starters from rounds 10 to 17 and 15. So basically the entire second sheet just faded. pretty crazy.
Yeah, pretty wild. Agreed.
If you guys give me 1 second. We did have some SP questions when we were originally going to do this.
Okay.
I found him real quick here. John Wilder just says, nice to see you guys are on a first name basis with Yamamoto, because yeah, that doesn't fit in the sheet, so I appreciate that. Alex says, it seems like the round one SP has such high risk. Is this a trend that dies off after the results we saw in 2026? No, there will always be 2 to 3 first round pitchers. That's just reality.
And I think, assuming they continue on these paths, Christopher Sanchez, Yamamoto, Chris Sale, probably be
Mizorowski. Like people
Mizorowski, are him. Schittler.
Like, so there will still be a probably second will, or third. I don't think people would be fully in on that one just yet.
Yeah, true. But I don't think the. And again, there's still time for Scoobal and Skeens to
yes.
be top 10.
Remind everybody. Like, remind everybody who they
exactly.
are.
Exactly. So, like, I actually don't think first round has been that bad. Yes, Crochet's been an absolute nightmare, but everyone around Crochet has been fine, if not very good.
Yep. Ben Ted said, where's Robert Urania on here? Might need to take a look at your code. Funny. He's talked to IT again, apparently.
Listener questions about Urania, comments about Urania. Everyone just loves Urania. I wonder why.
Keegan says, which of the guys on the list ranked outside the top 50 now would you have the most confidence in being a top 20 SP rest of season? If you want to go outside the top 50,
I'll flip over.
It's top 50 at the position, so it can be on the first page or the second page in theory, if you're feeling it. What do you got?
I don't know what I'm feeling at this point. Nor do you, I don't think.
No.
I guess Garrett Cole's kind of cheating because he missed so much time. But
yeah, he feels like the easy answer, if that makes sense. Man, most of these guys aren't great. That's the problem.
Logan Webb.
He could if he has another month like he did in June. That's fair. Honestly, it's kind of cheating because he's still 62nd, but Max Fried's coming back next week. Like, if he is healthy and gets you like 7 more starts, he's a top 50 pitcher by the end of the season.
Okay.
So, because they've really taken their time getting him back.
I'll go Evaldi. I think the results catch up to the skills. Evaldi's 57th right now.
Who are some names you like for this list a year from now? Kate Anderson, Jared Jones, like guys on here, I couldn't tell you right now, but Jones is a good one. I'll say that much. I do like Jones. They let him pitch.
Yeah.
I'm still a Landon Root believer. I know it's tough.
That was random.
Well, he's talking about guys that aren't on the list that we could see being on these lists, like top 80 pitchers drafted.
Yeah.
So, Robert Urania will be drafted next year in the top 80. Keep that in mind. I'll try to stop mentioning him. John Wilder says, is Emerson a drop in 50s? This is an actual position player. Is Emerson a drop in 15s? Third base is weak out there in the Fab streets. Colt Emerson, that is.
Well, this was like 2 weeks ago that he asked.
Yeah, it still plays. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. It still does kind of play. Yeah. No, I don't think he's a drop. Emerson's a just drop yet, but let's see when Brendan Donovan comes back. That could be your time to drop Donovan. I could see him. He's written about this. He could go back to AAA.
Like, out of all the options they have, he's the one that deserves it the most. And he's young. Like, it's an easy conversation to be had. Like, some fans that don't know ball, I'll say it that way, we'll get mad. But if you look at the Mariners team, a team in first place, go get his confidence back up for the postseason. Like, it's not the worst thing you can do. He's going to be with you guys for years to come. Like, don't ruin him now.
You assume the Mariners are going to make the postseason, but
aren't they separate? Didn't they enter today first in the AL West?
They are 50. Well, yeah, but they lost tonight, so I don't know. They're 500.
So. I try to be nice, and it's just the pessimistic fan. Trust me, I understand how that works as a Giants fan. But all right, any final thoughts? We wrapped up starting pitching. We wrapped up our mid-season reviews. We'll be back with probably live Bloom Boards next week, would be my guess. Would be something we could probably get to, or unless Ryan gets crafty in the lab. But I got nothing wrong with whatever. And we got Fab, Week 19 Fab on Thursday night, Ryan. So final thoughts.
Fun to look back at this and what could have been. Don't want to overreact too much because so much is just, you know, things, but identified a couple trends that I'm keeping my back pocket and probably forget about next draft season. So can't wait.
Must be a hole in that back pocket, but
must be a cargo pocket.
There you go. That's why you need the cargo pockets. You don't have to worry about the back. They're right in the front, basically on the side. It's good to go. And we'll wrap it up there. Make sure y'all follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrick. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 366. Catch y'all next time.